My guest this morning is Christian Cook. And Christian Cook knew she wanted to be a writer since she was just 3 years old. Actually, that answered one of my first questions. She spent her life making decisions to put herself in a position to achieve her dream. And in July 2020, Cook's first novel, I Hate Gray, was published by Leeds Press Corporation. Cook arrived at Columbia from the suburbs of Detroit in 2014 and consistently journaled her experiences, thoughts, and observations of starting college and moving away from home. She started at Columbia as a journalism major but switched to public relations so she would be able to help to be comfortable with speaking in front of others, pitching her work to the media and market herself as a writer. All right, well, Christian, welcome to the Reading Circle microphones. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for rising early, because I know you're calling out of Chicago. You're an hour behind me. So while it is 7 o'clock or 7:04 here, it is 6:04 there, correct?
That's correct, but I'm naturally an early riser, so this is nowhere near inconvenient.
All right, so you're okay, you're early. All right, that works. So you're an early riser. That will work. So again, I thank you for joining me. And as we were talking a couple of minutes ago, your brief bio that I read there kind of answered my first question, but I'm gonna let you talk about that in terms of, you know, where did it all begin? And you're talking about knew that you wanted to be a writer since you were three. Now, it was interesting that last piece about, you know, being able to speak publicly, because you're on the radio, you're gonna be speaking publicly. Now, the good news is I taught public speaking, or I teach public speaking at the college level, and I'm telling you, you have nothing to fear. So right now, this conversation is just like if me and you were on the telephone.
Exactly.
So
I feel comfortable.
Good. That is my objective is to make all of my guests feel comfortable. And I've been on the air now for 21 years. This is going into my 22nd season. And I always strive to make all of my guests feel very comfortable. So I'm glad you feel that way. So let's talk a little bit about this. Wanting to be a writer since you were three. Talk to us a little bit about that.
So I used to just always tell stories. To my grandparents, parents, anybody who would listen, actually. And then I began to write them. It kind of first started off as something that I would just go around making up, telling people things. And I remember just being ready to write them all out. Now, as a younger child, I was gifted, and I didn't really know how to navigate that. Even when I started kindergarten, I don't really think my teacher was able to handle me either, because in kindergarten, I used to do half day in kindergarten and half day in first grade because they were trying to get me promoted to skip and go a little bit faster. Even in kindergarten, I would just literally just write up children's stories.
Do you remember those children's stories? Do you remember any of them?
I do not remember most of them. I do remember briefly the story that I did in one of the Reading Rainbow contests. I think I was like in third grade. I don't know where the concept came from, but I thought it was a really cool idea to write about two Japanese twins who travel in space and they were jewel thieves. I don't know where I got the idea from, but I just kind of took it and ran with it.
Now, this is I tell people all the time, some of the most successful people on the planet, and I'm not saying everybody has to do this, but some of the most successful people on the planet knew what they wanted to do at a young age, and they were able to follow their path. Now, again, I'm not saying, because that age old question to kids are, what do you want to be when you grow up? And, you know, some kids, they know, and some kids, like, I don't know, I have no idea. But I see here with you now, knowing you wanted to be a writer for such a young age, did that allow you now to set your course in terms of what classes you took? I know elementary school and middle school really can't set them too much, but high school you can, and certainly college you can. Did that kind of guide what courses you now enrolled in because you knew you wanted to be a writer?
Yes. I took a lot of creative writing courses and marketing classes in high school, specifically too. Intro to marketing, I was in DECA, which is like a marketing, I don't know how to explain it. It's like a
No, I know Decca well because my sister was in it. Distributive education, yes.
Yes. So I was in Decca in high school, and I just loved, outside of writing, I loved brand communications. That got me really excited because I always feel like very connected to the brands I like, and I always wanted to figure out if I ever wanted to create a brand for myself or if I ever wanted to become a brand myself, how would that start? How would I market myself? What would be my target market? All these things interested me, like I said, from a young age. I think I started Decca when I was 14 or 15. And from there, senior year of high school came, I did half days at North Farmington High School in Farmington Hills, Michigan. And then I will go to Oakland School's technical campus as well, where I studied heavy marketing courses.
Now, that's interesting because on my undergrad, my first degree, my bachelor's degree is in business administration. And it was a concentration in marketing and advertising because I've always been fascinated with this whole notion of being able to persuade people because it's like, I mean, because of the background, it's very hard for any marketer to persuade me. Either I want what I want or I don't what I don't. But you're not going to give me this pitch that's going to, that you're going to think that's what swayed me because it really didn't. I mean, because I know the game. So it sounds like what you're hearing, what I'm hearing from you is with your marketing background, you actually kind of know the game. But the flip side of that is we also know what to say to persuade people.
That's true. And a lot of marketing, advertising, PR, we're storytellers.
Correct.
We just do it in a different form than putting the pen to paper and someone reading our story. We are giving visuals. We're taking people through a brand journey. And a lot of people were confused oftentimes, like, oh, I thought you wanted to write. But little did they know that my storytelling skills set a base and almost like a better way of success for me to be successful within the communications world.
Oh, no question. Because, see, this is the thing. Communication and writing and all that, they are connected. Whenever I was working in a large corporation, I actually used to write telemarketing scripts. People don't know that the person on the other end is actually working off of a script and not just talking from the sucker talking, that folks actually write scripts, going back again in terms of persuading. So you're absolutely right. It's no surprise to me that one contributed to the other. In other words, there's no reason why you wouldn't be able to be a writer if you were writing copy or writing anything for marketing or PR. So it doesn't surprise me at all. So, all right. So you continue to follow your dream. As a matter of fact, the bio that I'm looking for is, I'm assuming is from your school. Is it Columbia?
Yes. So I went to Columbia College Chicago for my undergrad years.
And so again, going back to my question about major and your courses, all of that kind of went towards, or you were able to shape your education to fit your career. Because that's going back to my earlier statement. Kenny G, when he was like 10 years old, was watching the Ed Sullivan Show. That's an old show back in the 60s, 70s. Was watching the Ed Sullivan Show. Had no idea what a saxophone was. But he saw someone playing that particular instrument. And he said, that's what I'm going to do. And from that point on, he set out to be one of the greatest saxophone players. And he achieved it. One of the greatest jazz saxophone players, Kenny G. Bill Clinton met John F. Kennedy when he was like 16, 17 years old. And he set his sights and said, I am going to be president of the United States one day. So from the point that he met John F. Kennedy, everything that he did was geared toward becoming president of the United States. And guess what? He became president of the United States with Kenny G.
That's
guess
amazing.
What? He became one of the top saxophone players in the world. So now I'm saying all that to say you knew that you were wanting to be a writer since 3, and now you've already released 2 books and you're only 25 years old.
Yes. Wow. Like you put painting it like that. I never think about it like that. It's hard to think about it in that light when you're in it and you're doing it. Because when you set a goal and you have a goal and then you have more goals in your head after the ones you've already done, it's kind of hard to kind of take a step back and really look at it that way. I'm like, wow, I do have 2 books and I'm 25.
No, last week my guest, you probably heard me saying it, was, and this was a lifelong, I knew this young lady before she was born because I knew her mom and her dad. She was 33, and she is the CEO of a nonprofit organization and have been doing it since she was 23. So she started that nonprofit at 23. So this is another example for me of folks out there saying that young people don't do it, because, you know, young people are always bashed. You know, when I was young, we were bashed. Yes, young people are always... Yep.
Annoyed. I get very annoyed by that.
Mm-hmm. Young people are always bad. Oh, they're not doing anything. They're lazy. All they want to do is play video games, sit on the couch, listen to music. They don't want to do anything. So, but again, last week, my guest was 33. She started her nonprofit at 23. Here you are now at 25, already with two books published. So that means surely there are more books to come because, you know, God willing, you have a lot more time to go. So if you've gotten two done by 25, there's no telling what you'll have by 35, 45, 55, 65, so forth and so on. So your first book was I Hate Grant. Matter of fact, let me back up a little bit, because you're considered, from what I understand, young adult author.
Yes.
Okay. So, and it makes sense because you're a young adult. But how did you choose that? How did you choose that genre?
I've always been relatively obsessed with young adult fiction, because before I really took writing seriously, I always journaled, even in like elementary school, middle school, but I didn't journal like regularly. That didn't happen until late high school, college. But in between the years before that, I was a heavy reader. Like, I spent most of my time in libraries, checking out books, sometimes not returning them on time, which was kind of hard for me to do for whatever reason. But I was always checking out books, always reading. And I remember specifically in middle school, it was a series called The Click by Lisi Harrison. And I was just completely enamored by the series. I felt like I was in the book myself. I felt like I was going to the classes with them. You couldn't tell me I wasn't from Westchester, New York, like the girls that I was reading about. And I... from there, I was like, okay, if I read something like this and I felt like I was with them, I felt like I was in a completely different world, even though I was in Michigan reading about upper middle class girls going through middle school problems in New York, I'm like, I want to create something like this too, where if I write something, I want people to feel like they're wherever the character is. I want them to feel like they're in that setting. If the character is eating something, I want to describe it in the way they feel like they can taste it too. Whatever smells, I want all their senses to be captured when I put the pen to paper. So reading, being a heavy reader from such a young age, really helped set the stage for my writing skills as well.
Well, I'm not surprised at that, because again, the impetus of this show was to help folks, or to encourage folks to read more. That's when the show was put together 21 years ago. The station manager had that in mind, that he wanted to have a show about books with the hopes that it would encourage people to read more. I cannot tell you how many authors I've had on the show who were avid readers when they were young. There is a connection between reading and writing. Now, listening audience is bored of hearing this, and I know it, and I'm okay with it, but when I'm not doing radio, I'm a principal. That's what my day job is. I'm the principal of a school.
Oh, wow.
And in terms of trying to encourage my students to read more, that was one of the last thing I told them before we broke for summer break was, look, I'm expecting you to read at least at minimum 30 minutes per day during the summer. Now, you can read more, but I don't want you to read less. So it's not surprising to me, in terms of you saying that you were an avid reader as a child as well, and the fact that now you're reading kind of influenced or defined what type of author you wanted to be. So, listening audience, there are different genres of books. There's biographies, autobiographies, there's erotica, there's Christian, there's fiction, there's nonfiction. There's a whole list of genres of books. Young adult fiction is one of those genres. And that's the genre that Christian writes in. She writes in the young adult fiction, and doesn't necessarily have to be fiction. It's her target audience are young adults. Now, what's the age group? Whenever we say YA, what kind of is like the age group in there?
For my writing, I know like my target is typically 18 to 24, but I would say like 16 to 25. And the reason I say I would take it to 16 specifically is that was the age where I started really thinking about what type of woman I wanted to be. And I do think I started thinking about that earlier because I graduated high school at 16. So I was a little advanced. So I'm already getting college acceptance letters at 16, going to high school with people who are 18 in the same grade as me, picking out prom dresses, doing the whole nine yards. But I was already thinking, like, okay, this is one step in my life, but I'm about to start college and I'm no longer going to be a kid in my head. So I'm like, okay, I'm a girl now, but one day I will be a woman. What type of woman do I want to be? What do I want to dress like? What job do I want to have? What type of man would I like to end up with? Like, these were, like, loosely forming in my mind around that age specifically. And I truly believe you have to prepare for a stage of your life before you get there. So even those loose thoughts, even, like, forming some type of idea before you get to whatever next stage that is in your life is always pretty helpful. So before you're 18, that 16 to 17 is kind of where you're thinking about that age frame and what is it going to be like when you leave from home.
Well, okay, a couple of things there. Just the fact that you were at that age and thinking that maturely, I take my hat off to you because I work with kids every day. And there's a reason young people get bashed. Not always, you know, not always that needs to be deserved, but there's not a whole lot who thinks the way that you just described. And, you know, that's okay, too. But those of you who do, and I know another young lady, very good friend of mine, she did the same thing. She was in college by, like, 16. She was out in Pittsburgh, and now she's getting ready to go to NYU or somewhere over here in New York, one of the universities in New York. But she's always been kind of like the baby in the group because, you know, and you probably experienced that same thing of being 2 years younger than the norm. But yeah. The fact that you were thinking that way, like at 16, we're like, well, what kind of woman do I want to be? What kind of man do I want to have? I mean, like you said, you're preparing each time for your next level. Unfortunately and sadly, and I hope folks are listening that will kind of pass that along to their grandchildren or their children or whatever, or maybe some folks in that age group that you just mentioned are listening also, you cannot prepare enough. Because a lot of times we get ourselves in trouble by not preparing, which goes back to what I was saying. Everybody's not going to know at three what they want to do when they're grown. You did. And obviously that carried over in other areas of life also. So in terms of, oh, and there's one other thing you said in the last, when we were talking in the last question, you were talking about being able to write so descriptively. Yes, for the reader, you need to, and I was having this conversation the other day. We as writers and speakers, we have to paint a picture for folks. Like they ought to be able to read our words or hear what we're saying and be able to close their eyes and act as if they were watching a movie.
And that's our job as the writer to make the reader feel that way, 100%. And it's even harder to do because there aren't any visuals. We just have the words and we just have the paper. Can we insert the reader into the scene? Can we make them feel included? Do we get them attached through not just the characters which are really important, development of characters, making, because everyone loves having a favorite character. Everyone
Correct.
Loves having a character they can connect to, that they can root for, that they want to feel connected to. So if you can get a reader connected to a character, that's great. But can you also put them in the scene? That's something I always ask myself before I finish, because I typically write by chapter for the most part. I have an outline, and then I write it by chapter. And before I move on to the next chapter, I read my own words. And I'm like, okay, can I see what I'm saying? Can I hear the sounds specifically? If it's food included, can I taste everything when I'm touching it? Am I describing it in a way where you can feel like you're touching what the character's touching? So incorporating all five of those senses, it's kind of that simple sometimes. I write the five senses out. I'm like, okay, are all five senses touched if I chose to incorporate them into a scene?
And see, again, that is critical. It's critical for the reader as much as it is.